Listen, that's why we don't have to sit in sukkah. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't sit in sukkah. What about in Chutz Lo'aretz? We have an institution of Yontif Sheni Shel Golias. We always observe Sveika de Yoyma. So Sveika de Yoyma is, let's say, the second day Yontif, or the Simchas Torah. It's really Chol, but we treat it as if it's a Yontif. Here, the question is, should I treat Shemini Atzeres is a Yontif? Should I treat it as a Sveika de Yoyma? Maybe it's Chol Amoed. But he's saying, no, that there's no Sveika de Yoyma on that. So the Gemara has three different opinions about this, whether one sits in Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. So one opinion is you sit in Sukkah with a bracha, one opinion you don't sit in Sukkah at all. And then the way we have it printed in our Gemara, the Gemara says, Hilchasa, the Pesach Halacha is like the third Shita, the centrist Orthodox opinion, the Leisa V'yatsvina Bruch Eloi V'vachini. You sit in the Sukkah, you don't say a bracha. But the problem is, if you look in the Mordechai, you look in the Hagos Maimoni, half of the Rishonim didn't sit in Sukkah, Rashi included. They didn't sit in Sukkah, and Shmei Atzeres. So how come it's against the Gemara? The Hasidim don't sit in Sukkah. So Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to encourage everyone to follow the family traditions, whatever they happen to be, and don't rock the boat. Just everyone should follow his own minhagim, except for a couple of things. He said, absolutely not. That they don't sit in Sukkah and Shmei Atzeres, that's wrong. You have to sit in Sukkah, so the Beferish Adin and the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. But half of the Rishonim didn't sit in Sukkah. So some suggest that every so often in the Gemara, every 50 blot, you have a line or two that was added on later by the Rabbanus of Aroya, later yet. So some suggest that this line was added on from the Bahag. Bahag lived in the days of the Goinim. So maybe this Hilchasa, basically Asvina Baruch Elam Rachinon, that you sit in Sukkah, you don't say a bracha, maybe that's what it says in the Halachas Gedolos. So maybe originally it was, the original source is the Bahag. Maybe it was added into the Gemara from the Bahag. So the Hasidim don't sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Their tradition is they must have had a different gear than the Gemara. But everybody else, if you're not a Chassid, so on Shulchan Aruch, you follow Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that you have to sit in Sukkah. What does the word Sukkah mean? So Rashi writes on Daf Beis, on the first Daf Sukkah, Al Shem HaSchach, that the Schach causes shade. It's Mesach. It's Mesach. So the Iker of, we had Dinim, what material can you make the Sukkah from? Has to have three conditions. It has to be Geduli Karka, has to be Tolush, has to be Dov Shein Mekabel Tumah. So these conditions only apply to the Schach. It doesn't apply to the Tvanis. Tvanis can be, you can use a tree as the wall of the sukkah, you can use a side of a building, even though the bricks of the building are not gedulei karka, and you can use metal. All the dinim of sukkah only apply to the to the schach. It doesn't apply to the tvanis. The Tanoim had a machlokes where the sukkah is supposed to be diras keva, diras aroi, and minakotze ala kotze. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is it has to be diras keva, and we paskin like the chachamim. If it's Diratz Kev, it's Basel, has to be Diratz Aroi. So one afkamina is whether Sukkah Sachag Bechag is Chayv and Mezuzah. That's Machlekes and Yuma, Daf Yud Aleph. Machlekes are Buddha and Achachamim. We paskin that Sukkah Sachag Bechag is a Diratz Aroi. It's not Chayv and Mezuzah. Mezuzah. Then the Gemara says, there's a Machlekes, how do you read the Psukim and what's the Halacha Moshe Mesinai? So bottom line, we paskin that you don't need four walls. All you need is Shtaim Kehochasam. Kehochasam means at a right angle to each other, as opposed to two parallel walls. If you have two walls, Shtaim Kehochasam, what do you mean Kehochasam? Has to be 10 Tvachim tall, minimum of 10 Tvachim tall. Can't be suspended too high above the ground. Has to be the bottom of the Doifin, has to be within 3 Tvachim to the ground. That's what we call Lovud. The Gemara in Erevin has a Machlekes Hatanoim. How much is Lovud? How close does it have to be to the ground? 2 Tvachim or 3 Tvachim? I made Havdol, I'm a little drunk. I think it's a machlek, a 3 tvachim, or 4 tvachim. Not 2 or 3. Machlek is about 3 or 4 tvachim. Yes.
Rambam?
It's a good question. The Rambam writes in the Hagdamah to the Pirush HaMishnah, you never have a machlek on a halacha, the Moshe Mesinai, so I can be over here. There's a machlek is at Tanoim. So there's a suggestion that perhaps the Gemara said the Nusuch of the halacha of Moshe Mesinai was that if the doifen doesn't doifen for the sukkah or the mechitza for Shabbos, For Shabbos we call it a mechitza, for Sukkah we call it a doifim. They're not exactly the same, but they're pretty similar. So if the doifim doesn't reach so close to the ground that gedoyim bokim bo, if goats bevas rosh, if goats can easily jump under quickly without rubbing themselves, if goats can easily jump under, so then it's no good. So it could be that that was the nusach of the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim. It could be the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim never had a shear of inches in Tfachim. Maybe the Tanoim had a machlegs. How do you translate that? There are big goats and there are small goats. So what kind of a goat are you talking about that it can easily jump? Gedoyim bokim bo bevas rosh. They can easily jump under. Could be. Anyway, we paskin that the shear lobet is 3 Tfachim. So the mechitz has to be within 3 Tfachim. Thank you. Has to be within 3 Tfachim. To the ground, then it has to be reach a height of 10 Tfachim. Let's say if it's within 2 Tfachim to the ground, you say Lobud is Kisosim, then it has to have another 8 Tfachim. Top of the Daifin, 8 plus the Lobud is considered Kisosim, so you have the 10 Tfachim, then it has to be Zayin Tfachim. The floor of the Sukkah has to be minimum of Zayin al Zayin Tfachim. So one opinion had it that a Sukkah has to be a Diras Keva, and it has to be Dalar Amas al Dalar Amas. So that we don't accept that opinion. We paskin. Then there's another opinion that the sukkah can be vav al vav. It's enough if it's 6 tfachim by 6 tfachim. We don't accept that either. We paskin zayin tfachim al zayin tfachim. So you have two you have to have at least 2 defanas that are 10 tfachim tall, zayin tfachim wide, and then shlishes afilu tefa. Then the halacha Moshe Mesina chisels down from the mashmos of the pasuk is mashman that you need 3 walls. 3 tfanis, and Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim comes lahokel and it chisels down on the 3rd wall that is sufficient with the tefach. So the Gemara says, but there were opinions that you just put the tefach over here. So we don't paskin like that. Could be that this chumr is only with the Rabbanan. We paskin, you have to move away the tefach. It's 10 tfachim tall and 1 tefach wide. So it should be within lovewood to the wall, and it should be a little more, slightly more than a tefach. So lovewood is 3 and a little more than tefach is 4. 4 tfachim is a shear makom, because a mechitza, a daifin, has to be, it's a mechitza for a makom. So true, the sukkah has to be zayin al zayin, but the shear makom in kol ha-tarakula is dalet tfachim al dalet tfachim. So the mechitza, if you're going to move it away, a little less than 3 tfachim away from this wall, or from this wall over here, and then the wall itself that's standing is going to be slightly more than a tefach, so it's going to be 4 tfachim. That's what the Ran explains. Rashi has it slightly differently, but the Ran is a little sharper than Rashi's. So you're going to have 4 tfachim as the shear makom. So the mechitza, the doifen, is mishamish makom. And then you need a tzuras ha-pesa. For the empty space that's missing, you need a tzuras ha-pesa. So this whole combination has to be moving away, say lovin, you need a tzuras ha-pesa. Part of this for sure is the Rabbanan. Probably all of it is the Rabbanan. Min ha-Torah, it's really, Tosis says, this is all with the Rabbanan. Min ha-Torah, it's really enough if you were to put the tefach right next to the wall. But in the Rabbanan, they added on all of these chumas. Some people know that. I remember someone, a woman was showing me, they just built a new home, and they showed, she showed me some room, that they, a fancy home in Muncie, and they can take off the roof and they use it for a sukkah. So I said, where are the walls? Where are the walls of the sukkahs? I didn't see anything. So she says that Rabbi Tendler told her, she probably heard a half the story. Mrs. Tendler, Aleh HaShalom, came, and she also said, where's the sukkah? So she said, no, your husband told me it's good the way it is. I think the woman must have misheard. You have to have Stein Kilchas, you have to have 2 walls at a right angle to each other, and then the schach has to be within, either within Lovewood to the Tfanis. Let's say, I live in 24 Bennett, so on 44 Bennett they have a big sukkah in the courtyard in the front of the building. So for many years they had a big crowded sukkah. So they had schach over the whole sukkah. And then in recent years, most of the people go visit their children or their grandchildren, so they hardly have anybody eating in the sukkah. But the sukkah is still the same size, but they don't need to put schach all over. So they just put schach in the middle where all the people are going to sit. And it's empty space in between the schach and the wall. So the Mishnah says in sukkah that that's not acceptable. The schach has to be within 3 tfachim to the walls. If it's not lovut to the walls, it's not. The walls are not mitzurif to the schach, so it's not a kosher in sukkah. If you have schach pasul in the empty space, so then it's good even if it's more than three tefachim up until Dalet Amos. That's what we call Doifen Akuma. We consider it as if the, let's say this is the Doifen, and this is all three Amos of Schach Kosel. There's three Amos going in here, and then you have the Schach Kosher here. So I consider it as if the wall is crooked. That's called Doifen Akuma. Up until Dalet Amos. More than Dalet Amos, you don't say Doifen Akuma. So that's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Lavud, good Asik and good Aches, and Doifen Akuma, the Gemara says these are the three Halachas L'Moshe Misinai by Sukkah, that you say Doifen Akuma. This construction of the Sukkah before Sukkah is a Hechsha Mitzvah. That's not the Mitzvah itself. The Mitzvah itself is to sit in the Sukkah, to eat in the Sukkah, to sleep in the Sukkah all day long, to do activities in the Sukkah. Construction of the Sukkah is only Hechsha Mitzvah. It doesn't make a difference who does the Hechsha Mitzvah. So the Netziv, in the end of his commentary on the Shiltas, has a very famous Chiddush that he came up with, that Hechsha Mitzvah, Hakosa Batara, he has a Rashi in Makkos in the second Perek, that Hechsha Mitzvah, Hakosa Batara, has the status of a mitzvah with respect to certain yonim, and we would apply the klal of mitzvah bo yosim and mishlucha. So if you can put the asiyas asuka means to put the schach on, not to put up the tvanas. The tvanas you can have a non-Jew as well, but to put the schach on, that's considered asiyas asuka. He said the same. Let's say if you know how to write a mezuzah. So it's preferable you should write your own mezuzah and put it up on the wall rather than to buy ready-made mezuzah. If you know how to tie tzitzis, it's preferable you should buy a garment and buy chutei tzitzis and tie it on yourself, as opposed to having the man in the store tie it on for you. Because even though the mitzvah is to wear the tzitzis, the tying on the chutim and the writing of the mezuzah is not the mitzvah. That's only the hechsher mitzvah, that's a preparation to lead to the mitzvah. But still, this Rashi in Makkos, the Netziv built this whole very fantastic Chiddush. He built this Chiddush based on the Rashi in the second paragraph in Makkos, that mitzvah bo yosim v'shluchoi applies to construction of the Sukkah, because it's a Hechsher mitzvah, a Kosabat Torah. Where does it say in the Torah that you have to construct the Sukkah? It says, Basukkah Seishro. You should sit in the Sukkah. Yeshiva Sukkah. Where does it say you should construct the Sukkah? So the Torah Shebaal Peh has an additional level of interpretation on a pasuk, interpreting that it's referring to Asiyas HaSukkah. The pasuk says, Chag HaSukkah Statsa Lecha Shivas Yomim Boas V'chom Migor Nechom Yekvecho. So the simple pshuto shal mikra, the simple pshat in the pasuk is, Chag HaSukkah Statsa Lecha, you should celebrate the holiday of Sukkahs, Shivas Yom for a duration of 7 days, and what season of the year does it fall out? Boas V'chom Migor Nechom Yekvecho. When it's the ingathering season. What do you mean, ingathering season? Because in Eretz Yisrael it doesn't rain the whole summer. If it rains for 2 minutes and that's it. Rare that it ever rains in the summer. And after Sukkot, it starts to rain. So you can leave the tefuah out in the field, it's not going to get ruined all summer long. But then Sukkot season is the ingathering season. You have to bring all the food into the barn that it shouldn't get ruined. So that's the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Chag HaSukkos Ta'aseh Lecho Shivas Yomim. You should celebrate the holiday of Sukkot for a duration of 7 days. At that season of the year, Bas B'chom Mikor Necham Yikvecha. So the Gemara says, leave out the word Chag for a moment, and we'll get to it later. Sukkot Ta'aseh Lecho is an additional level of interpretation. You should construct the Sukkot. Chag Sukkot Ta'aseh Lecho, you should construct the Sukkot. What do you mean constructed? To the exclusion of Tasev Elayim and Ha'asui. Let's say a person put up the walls and then he put a bundle of twigs on top in order to dry out in the sun. He didn't put it L'Shem Tzel. And then later on he decides to leave it. That'll be the Schach. So the Mishnah says that that's not good Menatera. That's Tasev Elayim and Ha'asui. The Schach has to be placed L'Shem Tzel. Or Bimikre. I happened to be once in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot. So the Mikra was pouring. That Sukkot, it was raining. Usually, it rarely rains. The Mishnah says that if it rains on Sukkot, it's a bad simon. So the Mefarshim say it doesn't apply to America. It always rains on Sukkot in America. How can you have 8 days in a row without rain? It's not shy. It always rains in America. It goes on Eretz Yisrael that season of the year. It's not normal that it should rain. So if it rains on Sukkot, it's a simon that Hashem is not interested in our mitzvahs. He's angry at us, and he doesn't want our shmiras on mitzvahs. So when I was there, it was raining and windy, so the wind blew off the schach from a lot of sukkahs, and then there was a sukkah on the ground level where the schach fell on the floor, and then the sukkah on the fifth floor balcony, the wind blew the schach off and it fell exactly on top of the sukkah on the ground. So that's literally tasav leiman hos. Mamish, it fell on the sukkah. And that's mamish psul derais, tasav leiman hos. Mishnah gives a different example. That's a rare example. Mishnah gives a different example that a person has a haystack and he crawls under the haystack and he starts picking out a cavity, and the cavity is 7 by 7 tvochim and 10 tvochim tall. So that to make the finest minha osay, that doesn't bother us. But it turns out that you made this chach minha osay, because when you put the hay there, it wasn't put l'shem tzel. It was put as a big stack of hay. And then you cleared out, you picked out the cavity, and then the top hay is still there. It's not going to fall down. It's held up with the static or whatever. So that's the example the Mishnah gives, a tasav la minha osay. There was a big machlekes of Rishonim. What if you made a sukkah, an Arab sukkahs, and then you put a shlak on top, you put a cover on top to protect it from the rain. And then in the middle of sukkahs, you take off the shlak. So maybe that should also be tasav lemon or hasay, because you make the sukkah kosher now by removing the wooden roof or the plastic roof that's covering on top of the schach. So that's a machloikis, the Mordechai quotes machloikis, and the accepted opinion is that is okay, since at the time, if provided, at the time that he put the schach, the sukkah was open to the sky. There was no roof on top. If when he puts the schach on, it's a kosher sukkah, then he puts the roof on top of it, then he removes the roof. So since trilas anochas haschach was behechsher, and now you just removed the roof, and now you're back where you started in the first place, so we paskan that's okay, that's kosher. So machmer for the other opinion. So they'll pick up... Well, the schach, pick it up after they take the roof off. In the middle of Chalamad, you can do it. Yantav, you can't do it. Middle of Chalamad, you can do it. You pick up the schach and you put it down. Pick it up at Tefach and you put it down. Is it necessary to place the schach l'shmo l'shem mitzvah sukkah? So that's a machlokes b'shamne b'silul in the Mishnah on Daf Tesam and Aleph. Oh, we didn't finish that pasuk. Let's get back. We left off in the middle. So the pshuta shal migra chag ha'sukkah starts al chashiv asyamim. Goes on celebrating the holiday day of Sukkot for a duration of 7 days. So the Torah Shabbat Peh says there's an additional level of interpretation. Sukkot tasalacha, you should construct the Sukkot with an asiya. Tasav lamin ha'asui. It goes on the schach. Shivas yamim, the Sukkot has to be sturdy enough to last for 7 days. If you make a Sukkot and you know it's going to fall down, it's wobbly, you know it's going to fall down before the end of Chol HaMoed, so you're not even yotza in the first few days, even though you sat in a sukkah that was standing, because you knew it's going to fall down within 7 days. And then it says, ba'ostocha migornecha miyekvecha. What do you mean, ba'ostocha? How do you say it in Hebrew? Ani kosev ba'sefer. I'm writing in a book. So the base of ba'sefer means in. I'm writing in a book. Then you say, ani kosev ba'eit. I'm writing with a pen. You don't say, I'm writing in a pen. I'm writing with a pen. So here it says, you should construct the sukkah with psalas garan v'yekev. Not at that season of the year. In that season of the year. So that's how the Torah Shabbat Peh gives the additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. This is how that's the pasuk that teaches you that schach has to have three conditions in order that it should be kosher. It has to be gedulei karka, it has to be tolush, it has to be dov sheini mekabel tuma. Apples and pears are gedulei karka tolush, but it's mekabel tuma. It's ochlema mekabel tuma. So you have to have something that has all these three conditions: gedulei karka, tolush, and dov sheini mekabel tuma. So the question is, what do you do with the word chag? Everything fits in nicely except the word chag. You can't, Terek Shabbat Peh can't take a phrase from the pasuk and give it an additional level of interpretation. Doesn't fit in with the rest of the pasuk. So the Torah Shemal Peh interprets chag that the schach, the sukkah is the schach, is hukash l'chag, compared to a korban chagiga. Just like a korban chagiga, you bring us Pesach Shavuot Sukkot on Shalosh Shugolim, everyone is obligated to participate. Gimel mitzvahs, nitztav Yisrael bali yosem laregel. The Tosefta says in the first parak in Chagiga, and the whole first parak is dedicated to these dinim, that all the men who are, the women are only chayv and simcha, but all the men who are oil regel are mechuyev to bring three karbonos, riya, chagiga, and simcha, oilas riya, shalmei simcha, and shalmei chagiga. So shlamim and shalmei chagiga is kodesh, there's a din of me'ila, you're not allowed to get hanoah, from, even from kachim kalim, there's no din of me'ila, but kachim kalim means if one violated din of me'ila, he's not chayv to bring a korban me'ila, but there is an isa me'ila. Most of the Shanim hold there is an isa me'ila min ha-Torah on kachim kalim. Some Shanim hold not so, and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik held that it's inconceivable. Can't be. Half of the Shanim held like that, but he held that it can't be. Most of the Shanim hold that there is a me'ila on kachim kalim also. So that's how the Torah Shabbat Pah interpreted. Sukkah is tassel l'chayishi construct the sukkah, and this chag, a sukkah is hyphenated, the sukkah is called a chag. Just like a korban chagiga is also ba'noah, so too the sukkah is huktzel mitzvasa. That's the mocker, that pasuk is the mocker in the Chumash for the institution of huktzel mitzvasa. That the esrig on sukkah is huktzel mitzvasa, you're not allowed to eat it. You can smell it, it's only huktzel mitzvasa for the ikeh hishtamshus, which is eating. And the hadasim, the ikeh hishtamshus is for smelling. So the hadasim are huktzel mitzvasa with respect to smelling. So the mocker for the din of huktzel mitzvasa is the pasuk by sukkah, chag ha-sukkah, sukkah shlechag. And we extend from that to all tashmishei mitzvah, to all dvarim shal mitzvah, bizman mitzvasam. After the zman ha-mitzvah is up, after sukkah is over, then the esrog is no longer hooked to the mitzvah. Then if you want, you can eat it. And if you want, you can smell the hadasim after sukkah is over. But during the duration of sukkah, it's hooked to the mitzvah. So the sukkah also, if you want, you can throw it out after sukkah. But during, if you sat in the sukkah, and sukkah, kolzman you didn't sit in the sukkah, it's not hooked in the mitzvah. That's called hazmana lav milsei. But once, and let's say you bought an esrig and a lulav, but you didn't shake the esrig on the first day yet. You just bought it in advance. So that's not yet hooked in the mitzvah. That's called hazmana lav milsei. It's mutter to use it for your own purposes. But after you shook the esrig at the lulav, you did the mitzvah with it, and after you sat in the sukkah, then it becomes hooked in the mitzvah. So it calls man mitzvah, the whole duration of the 7 days of sukkahs, you're not allowed to use it for your own purposes. Same thing, let's say I have a talus, and I wore the talus, so I did the mitzvah with it. So calls man the talus is in good shape, I'm not allowed to wrap up my gemara in the talus. If it's raining outside or something, I'm not allowed to wrap something else in the talus, because the talus is hooked in the mitzvah. What if it's an old talus, and I bought a new talus, I'm not going to use the old one anymore. And I want to donate it to the shul, and the gabbai says he doesn't want it, it's all gray and yellow and dirty, he doesn't want it. I want to give it to a poor man in the neighborhood, the poor men don't want it either. I give them a pretty talus to take, they don't want an old talus. So it's after the zman ha-mitzvah is up, so the Gemara says, tashmisha mitzvah on his rokim. Strictly speaking, he can throw it in the garbage. You have to put it in the shemis. You only have to put in the shemis something that's tashmisha kedusha. Tashmisha kedusha means you have divrei psukim from Tanakh written on it. That's tashmishi kedusha, to the extent that you have psukim rit, to that extent it has kedusha. So there is a machlokes b'shamay and b'silul whether the schach has to be placed l'shma. B'shamay say if the schach is not placed on the sukkah l'shma, it's not kosher. B'silul say it is kosher. However, the Mishnah Brura quotes a Rashba. Why does he quote this Rashba is very questionable. The Pashto says that we don't paskan like this Rashba. But the Mishnah Brura quotes this Rashba. The Rashba is in Beitza Daf Lamed. There's one Omid Gemara there about Sukkah that's very important. And hooked to the Mitzvasai. Then it's in the Rashba in Avodas HaKodesh. The Rashba has a Sefer on all the Dinim Amukta, all the Dinim Aderev in there. So he has the same thing there. The Mishnah Brura quotes it from the Avodas HaKodesh. I don't know it from, I know it from Beitza. In the Yeshivas, they know from Beitza. They don't know from the Avodas HaKodesh. Nobody has that Sefer. It's in the library, but Shiva guys look on the Rashba on Beitza. So he quotes the following Rashba, that according to Beis Shammai, that according to Beis Hillel, that a sukkah is kosher even if he didn't place the schach l'shmoa, a non-Jew put up the sukkah, sukkah's goyim. The Gemara says, a sukkah put up by a non-Jew is kosher. So the Rashba says, yeah, but it won't be hooked to the mitzvah. Beis Shammai say it's hooked to the mitzvah only if it's put up. Beis Shammai claim the sukkah is only kosher if you did it lishma, because the pasuk seems to say, a different pasuk, that it's only hooked to the mitzvah if the schach was put up lishma. So Beis Shammai hold the sukkah is not kosher unless it's going to be hooked to the mitzvah. If the schach was not put up lishma, and even if you sit in the sukkah, it won't become hooked to the mitzvah, then it's not kosher in the first place. The Sillah disagree with Beis Shammai. They hold there are two kinds of sukkahs. There's a sukkah that's kodesh and a sukkah that's chol. There's a holy sukkah. They agree with Beis Shammai. If you put the schach up lishma, if a goy puts up the schach, by definition, it's not lishma. The goy is not obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah. Whoever's not obligated in the mitzvah. If a woman puts up the schach also, women are not mechuyev in sukkah. So if a woman will put up the schach also, it will be a kosher sukkah according to Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, it will be pasul because a woman is not mechuyev in sukkah. And the Rabbeinu Tam says, whenever there's a mitzvah that the woman is not mechuyev in, so she can't create lishma. One can only create lishma if he's mechuyev b'dover. Whoever's not a bachayuv, by definition, can't create lishma. So Beis Shammai say a sukkah where the schach was put up by women or by non-Jews will be pasul. The Sillah say it's kosher, but they say it doesn't have kedusha sukkah. It won't be hooked to the mitzvah. It won't be chal shem shamayim ala sukkah. So according to Beis Hillel, there are two sukkahs. There's a secular sukkah that you can be yotze with, then there's a holy sukkah. And Beis Shammai say, no, you can only be yotze if it's a holy sukkah. You can only be yotze if the schach was put up lishma, it's going to be chal shem shamayim on the schach. That's an interesting Rashba. So according to the way the Rashba says, there's a significant maila in having the schach put up by a Jew, by a man, by a Jewish man, as opposed to a Jewish woman, as opposed to a cotton. Shouldn't let a child before bar mitzvah put it up. He's also not mechuyev in sukkah min ha-Torah. So he can't create lishma. Cotton can't create lishma. That's a chiddush of a Rashba. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it la-halacha, but that's questionable. Why did he quote it? The pashtus is that we really don't hold like that Rashba. There are other indications in the Shulchan Aruch that seems to indicate we don't hold from that. But it's an interesting idea the Rashba has, according to Beis Hillel. There's a holy sukkah and a secular sukkah. We have such a dugma ledover. The Gemara says if a non-Jew converts because he really wants to marry a Jewish girl, or he wants to get a high position in the Israeli army or in the Israeli government, and he knows that he can't get ahead unless he's going to be Jewish. So he converts. He's not religiously motivated to convert, but he converts and he keeps all the mitzvahs. He wasn't religiously motivated to convert. So the Gemara calls that Geri Arayus. So the Gemara says he's Jewish, the Geris is valid, but the Minchas Haluza, the Minkatcha, has in his Sefer a Pshat and a Rambam. Rav Soloveitchik said the same Pshat as the Minchas Haluza. Interesting. Very rare that they ever say the same thing. Minchas Haluza was a Hungarian. Everything is different by the Hungarian Derech HaLimud. So here he has an interesting Pshat and a Rambam that if a non-Jew converts religiously motivated, then he's called the Ger Tzedek. And then you have a mitzvah, Hafta Masager, to go out of your way to be mekarev him. But if a non-Jew converted for ulterior purposes, he converted because he wants to get a better job in the Israeli government, he wants to marry a Jewish girl. He keeps the mitzvahs, but he was never religiously converted. He was never religiously inspired or motivated, and he didn't. And then after he converted, it's already years later, he still doesn't have the spark of excitement about the fact that he converted. He keeps all the mitzvahs begrudgingly. He keeps the mitzvahs, but he's still not excited about it. So then he's a ger, but you can't call him a ger tzedek. He has two different kinds of gerim. There's a ger and there's a ger tzedek. Interesting. So that's similar to this Rashba in a certain sense, that he says that according to Beis Hillel, two kinds of sukkahs. There's a sukkah that's holy, hal shem shamayim ala sukkah, if the schach was put up lishma. Then there's a sukkah that's not holy. If the non-Jew put the schach, you can pick up all the schach again and put it down again. The shei mitzvah, that'll solve the problem. Taisus quotes a Yerushalmi, which al pi pashtus contradicts totally the Bavli, but nonetheless, Taisus just quotes it, they don't make a comment. They don't say where there's the contradiction, not a contradiction. The pashtus says that it contradicts. The Yerushalmi says, Beis Hillel also agreed that you have to put up the schach lishma. But the argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, how much of the schach do you have to put lishma? Let's say you have a gigantic sukkah. So according to Beis Shammai, every inch of the schach has to be put lishma. The part that was not put lishma is considered as if it's not there. Mesillah is saying no, the way the Yerushalmi presents it. If you pick up a tefach, if you put a tefach on tefach l'shem mitzvah, they put mashuhu al pnei kula l'shem mitzvah, that's good enough. So the Yerushalmi presents it as if both Bisham and Bisil agree that you do need l'shma and hanacha saschach to be machshir the sukkah. The only argument is, do you need every inch of the schach should be put l'shma, or you put part of the schach l'shma is also good. The pashtus and the babli is certainly not so. So that's why when they quote this in Shulchan Aruch, so a lot of Achranim say it's only l'chatchila to live up to the requirement of the Yerushalmi, and the Pashtus and the Babli is that the Sukkah is kosher according to Beis Hillel, even if you didn't pick up anything l'shem mitzvah. But according to the Rashba, the Sukkah will be kosher, but it's a better mitzvah. It won't be a holy Sukkah. It won't be Chal Shem Shemayim ala Sukkah unless you put the Schach l'shma. There is a din in the Gemara that's called Chovot Rami. Chovot Rami means like this. Mishnah has an expression, Sukkah HaMeduv Leles. You have a big sukkah, so some of the schach is on a higher level, some of the schach is on a lower level, and there's no schach connecting between them. So if they're within three tvachim to each other, then we say Lavud. So Lavud is considered as if it's one big hemshel. What if they're not within three tvachim? Let's say half of the sukkah has the schach over here, the other half of the sukkah has the schach over here, and it's four tvachim in between. So the Mishnah says that's okay, even though it's on two different levels and it's not lovered to each other. So if the schach on the upper level has at least a tefach al tefach, this has more than a tefach al tefach, has a tefach al tefach, then you say chovot rami. We consider it as if it's a hemshach, as if it's one layer of schach. So this is relevant also for kohanim. I'm not allowed to be metami l'meisim. So the din of chovot rami implies over there also. Let's say there was an instance in Los Angeles, Cedar Sinai Hospital, I think. There's a whole big block, and then the roof on top protrudes around the whole block. It protrudes more than a tefach around the whole roof, around the whole block, and they have a morgue in the basement, the first floor. And when you take out the body from the morgue, you're taking out the body directly. It's directly under that roof that's protruding. So when they take out a mace, the tumor goes around the whole building on the outside. Not only goes around the building, there's a parking lot adjacent to the hospital. And the parking lot has a roof, probably has another layer of cars on top. I don't remember the whole story. But there's a parking lot right next to the roof. So they're nowhere near each other. The roof is on top of the 20th floor, whatever it is. However high the hospital is, the parking lot roof is 10 feet above the ground level, 7 feet above, whatever it is, not that tall. But there's overlap. The roof in the parking lot overlaps the roof on top. So the tumor goes, when they open up the door from the morgue, so the tumor's mace goes around the whole building, and then it goes around the whole building because of the roof on top, and then it goes under the parking lot. So Kohanim not only can't walk within the foot next to the building, they can't walk, they fixed it already. But it took a long time till they fixed it. But till they fixed it, there was a problem. So not only could the Kohanim not walk within a foot next to the building of the hospital, they couldn't walk in the parking lot either. Because of the Chovot Rami din, that if you have two roofs that are not lovered to each other, but there's overlap, either they're exactly one next to the other, higher up, or there's overlap, so then the tumor goes from one to the other. Tumor goes from one to the other. That's the din of Chovot Rami. The Mishnah says that if you build a sukkah under a tree, so it's not kosher. What if you build the sukkah on top of the tree? That doesn't say in the Mishnah. What if you built the sukkah, then you put the tree, then you plant the tree afterwards? That doesn't say in the Mishnah. So the Shulchan, there are different opinions in the Rishonim. So some say it depends who came first, the sukkah or the tree. And we paskal halacha, doesn't make a difference who's on top and who's on the bottom. Whether the sukkah is on top or on the bottom, doesn't make a difference who came first. In all cases, the kosher eschach of the sukkah, that's mechuben keneged, the pasul eschach, the branches of the tree are mechuber. Someone was telling me that they built the sukkah under a fire escape. So the fire escape has metal bars. So the metal is karka. The metal is not gidule karka, it's karka mamish. So you can't use metal for schach. So you have to visualize as if all of the kosher schach, that's mechuben keneged, the metal bars, would be removed. And you have to judge whether you have silosa merubah mechamasa based on the kosher schach, subtracting all of the schach that's mechuben keneged, keneged the pasul schach. If an airplane is flying directly above my sukkah, so for the half a second that it's flying above, if it's directly above, so mustama I should not eat. Mustama the sukkah will be pasul. Okay, but it's highly unlikely that the plane is going to be exactly above my sukkah. Far fetched. According to that opinion in the Mordechai, we paskin even if you put the roof and you take off the roof, it's not a problem. As long as when I put the schach, everything was kosher. There is a chumrah that we really don't paskin like, but in the Shulchan Aruch they recommend one should be machmel lechatchila. That's the chumrah of ma'amid in the second perek in Sukkah. There's a machlekes hatanoim quoted by the Mishnah, machlekes rabbiuda nachachamim. So usually when there's a machlekes rabbiuda nachachamim, yochet v'rabim halacha k'rabim, we don't pass on like rabbiuda, whatever the explanation is going to be. So here, there's a binarity, sheba minority opinion that we pass on like rabbiuda. What did rabbiuda say already? So the Gemara has two interpretations. According to one interpretation, for sure we don't pass on like rabbiuda because it's part of a different shita. According to one interpretation in the Gemara, there's a minority opinion that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda that you cannot have the schach supported by schach pasul. Let's say I have a sukkah, but the walls of the sukkah don't hold up the schach. So how do I hold up the schach? Let's say I have a clothesline. Let's say I have a clothesline. So there are different kinds of clotheslines. You can have a clothesline that's a metal wire with plastic around it. So the metal is not gedula karka, and the plastic is synthetic material. It's also not gedula karka. If you have that kind of a clothesline, a metal line with plastic covering it, that's possible to you for schach minatur. But let's say I have two clotheslines going parallel to each other, and they're very sturdy, and I want to have this schach supported on top of the clothesline, then I'm going to build walls on the bottom, just where the schach is going to be on top. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, according to one interpretation of the Gemara, that if the thing holding up the schach itself is something that's possible to use for schach, then you're not allowed to use it. That's called mamid. The mamid is schach. B'dovah ha'mekabel tumah, with something that's not gedul karka, something that's not tolush, so then the whole sukkah is no good. There's another kind of clothesline. When they wrap up, I don't know now, years ago, when you would wrap up a package parcel post, so you would tie it with a string that would hurt your fingers if you rub on it. That's hemp. It grows on a bush. It's gedule karka, and it's tolush, and it's ainu mekabel tumah, but it doesn't look like gedule karka. It's completely nishtana. If you would see it when it's in the state of the bush, you see that's a bush. It's gedule karka. Once they make rope out of it, so that's nishtane. So the Rambam learns pshat is Gemara at the end of the first perek in Sukkah. Gemara says something about some kind of string. So Rashi and Tosfos have one pshat, and the Rambam has a totally different pshat. The Rambam says in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rambam's pshat, that if the rope was originally gedule karka, but it's nishtane, it's not in its original form at all, it's in the shape of rope now, so that's possible to use for schach. The Pashta says only Pasul Midirabban, because it doesn't look like a Dulakak, like a Din Marisai. So that's a question. Let's say you have two clotheslines, two ropes that are made from hemp, made from Gidule Karka, but it's Nishtana. So it's Pasul Midirabban. So the whole Din of Mamin is only a Xera Dirabban, Pashab Shat. Rashi maybe holds the Mamin as a Din Daraisa, but that has not been accepted. That Rashi's Pshat has not been accepted. The Shulchan Aruch accepted pshat is the Ran on the Rif on Sukkah. That in the second parak in Sukkah, that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda holds the Mamid is no good is the Gzeirah Rabbanan, that he may use the Dovah HaMamid itself to serve Eschach. So the question is, see in Shulchan Aruch they say like this, I live at 24 Bennett, so the whole street over there is on a mountain, on a hill. So I live on the second floor. When you climb out of the window of the second floor, there's a landing there, because the ground is going up. So a lot of people have a sukkah, a few people have a sukkah on the landing. They use the bricks of the building as the wall of the sukkah, and the schach is supported by the bricks of the building. So the bricks of the building are not gedule karka. Bricks are made from karka. It doesn't grow from the ground. It's not gedule karka. So the bricks are puzzled to use for schach. So how can you have the schach rest on the bricks of the building? If you're choshish for mamid, if you want to be choshish, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, they can't be mamid the schach with something that itself is puzzled. So the Jews all the time, they used to lean the schach on the brick wall that happened to be two brick walls. Sometimes they have three brick walls. There's only three brick walls, and the schach is supported by the brick walls. So the Ramah quotes the Ran, that's not a problem. The whole issue of Mamid is only a din midirabbanan, a gzera midirabbanan, that someone may decide, instead of using the schach supported by the Mamid, may decide to use the Mamid itself. Everybody in his right mind knows that you don't use bricks for a sukkah, for the schach. Everybody knows you're supposed to leave your brick home and go to the sukkah. That's by definition. Everybody. Even if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda that a sukkah has to be diras keva, but not that kind of diras keva. You can't use bricks as a schach. So since everybody knows that you can't use bricks, so the whole chumrah of mamid, the rabbana, doesn't apply. The chashash doesn't apply. That's what we assume. For Rashi, what might appear, the achronim say, Rashi seems to hold that mamid is a din deraisa, so that for sure has not been accepted. We assume like the Ran, the Mamid is only the Rabban. So there's a big machloikis and achreinim. What if your Mamid is chach posel, that's only posel mid the Rabbanah? Let's say the clothesline that's made from hemp. That's gidule karka shenishtanu. So according to the Ramam, it's posel mid the Rabbanah. So is that called the gzera l'gzera? The whole reason why you're not allowed to be Mamid bischach posel, because the gzera, you may decide to use the Mamid as the schach, but here the whole hemp cord, the thick cord, is only possible with the Rabbanan. So the worst tragedy that will come out will be the sukkah will be possible with the Rabbanan. So maybe that's called the gzera l'gzera. But that's a machloikis and achreidim. How does the Mishnah Berurah say? So there's a stir in the Mishnah Berurah, two pages apart from each other. That's a problem, a stir in the Mishnah Berurah. Chacham Avadya has a tshuva, which was written many years ago. He claims that he went through all the Rishonim on Sukkah that were available at the time he wrote the Tshuva. Maybe by now the more Rishonim written, discovered. So he, so Chacham Avadya writes that he looked in the Rishonim, and the only Rishon who brings up the issue, I think he says, is the Ritva, and the Ritva says Lahakel. Okay, so if the Ritva says Lahakel, so fine. That's what he says. Since it's Machlokes and Achreinim and Rishonim only say Lahakel, the only Rishon that talks about it says Lahakel, Zalzayin Azay, so it's Lahakel. What are you supposed to do in the sukkah? Eat, drink, and sleep everything all day long? Some were makbid, they would try to get a minion to daven in the sukkah, so they wouldn't have to leave the sukkah 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. So most assume that the sukkah is not intended to be a prison. There's nothing wrong if you walk out of the sukkah for a moment. It doesn't have to be enough to daven in the sukkah. You can daven, you can learn in the Beis Medrash, you can daven in the shul. It doesn't have to be like that. Some tzaddikim felt amidas chasidus want to stay in the sukkah all the time. The meaning that the Bali HaTos has developed is that you only say a bracha when you eat. When you eat, so like ma'aser kviyas in the sukkah, the Mishnah says achilas haroi is mutter chutz l'sukkah. Strictly speaking, unless you want to have a candy bar or something chutz l'sukkah, want to have a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, or something. So strictly speaking, it's mutter. how much is called Achilas Keva, what's called Achilas Aroi. So the Gemara says, up until a kibetza of bread is called Achilas Aroi. If you eat more than a kibetza of bread, that's already called Achilas Keva. Years ago in New York, hardly anybody made their own sukkah. So the practice used to be everybody made kiddush and shul, and they would say hamotzi and leisha basukkah in the shul sukkah. And they would eat the bread, and then they would go home and eat the rest of the meal, and then bench it home. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if you eat, let's say a person is in the sukkah, a person is eating in the sukkah, then he goes into the kitchen for a minute, then he wants to have a snack. There's an extra piece of kugel, so he grabs a kugel when his mother's not watching or something, or an extra piece of chicken one in the house. The Mishnah Berurah says, whatever you eat in the middle of the meal, you're eating a whole meal and you're washed and you said hamotzi, and the hamotzi covers everything in the meal, or you want to have dessert at the end of the meal before the benching, everything you eat in the meal, if you're washed for the meal, everything is called achilas keva. But that's not right. The people used to wash and say hamotzi lesh masukah in the sukkah, and then have yosem kibetz of bread. Then they went home to finish the meal, and then would bench it home. So that's not right. You're not allowed to eat such a meal chutz l'sukkah. Maybe if they eat all the bread and bench in the sukkah, and then go home and eat the rest, but strictly speaking, that's called achilas haroi. That's called achilas haroi. Usually people are machmer that you don't have cake or cookies either chutz l'sukkah. Mizainas. If it's yotze mikabetza, less than a kabetza, bread is muta. Achilas haroi is muta chutz l'sukkah. There used to be an American Baal Tshuva lived in Boston. He was very influenced by the Boston Rebbe. So he wouldn't even drink a cup of water chutz l'sukkah. But Shmini Atzeres, he ate it home. Rabbi Soloveitchik, he was very close to Rabbi Soloveitchik. His son learned with me in the yeshiva years ago. So Rabbi Soloveitchik insisted, he's so makbid not to drink a cup of water chutz l'sukkah all the 7 days. Then on Shmini Atzeres, he eats everything chutz l'sukkah. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, you shouldn't follow the Rebbe as far as that's concerned. Okay, we'll say a little bit about the Dalad Ninim. Some chassidim are makbid davke to get green esrik, based on a passage in the Zohar that the esrik should be yorok. So the pashtus is that that's a mistake. That the word yorok, Tosfos says in a few places, the word yorok in the Gemara Lashon means brown or yellow. When you want to say green, you say yorek kikarsi. So the Gemara seems to say that if you have an esrog that's green, it's pasul. You're not yotze. So samach reinim amekel, if it looks like it's beginning to turn yellow, and the Mishkanos Yankev has a whole tshuva, and he says, Mishkanos Yankev was a rabbi, Raikala Karlina. He was a rabbi in Karlin. So he had to deal with the Karlina Hasidim. Karlin and Stalin are twin cities. You walk 5 minutes, you're in the other city. They're right next to each other. So he had to deal with the Stalin Hasidim, with the Karlin Hasidim. So quite a few of his tshuvas, he was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the beginning of the Volozhiner Yeshiva, the early 1800s. So he has this tshuva where he says the Hasidim are wrong. He doesn't say who he's talking about, but it's obvious he's talking about the Hasidim. He says they're wrong, and the green esrog is really possible. So this is a famous tshuva by mistake. After Rav Chaim Volozhiner passed away, Rav Chaim Volozhiner never printed tshuvas during his lifetime. So after he passed away, so somebody collected whatever tshuvas they found around his house, and they put them together. So by mistake, they included this tshuva in Rav Chaim Volozhiner's tshuva. This one is not by Rav Chaim Volozhiner. This was printed during the lifetime of Rav Yankele Karlina. And it's obvious that it's written by him. It's a different style of a tshuva. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, when he quotes a Tosfos, he says, what daf un omed in the Dibur HaMaschal. And Mishkanos Yankev says, Tosfos in Erevin. Mm-hmm. Tosfos in the third perek in Gittin. He doesn't tell you where. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes a lot, he quotes a lot of Zohars in the Nefesh HaChaim. But in Tshuvas, he doesn't pilpul about Zohars. The Mishkanos Yankev does. Mishkanos Yankev will mix the Zohars in with the Halacha also. Now, this Tshuva is clearly by Rav Yankele Karlina, but it's famous that by mistake it was printed in the Chutam Shulosh. Chutam Shulosh is a collection of the tshuvas of the three Rashi Yeshiva in Valozhin. Chaim Valozhiner and his two sons-in-law. One is Rabbi Hillel and one is Rabbi Eliezer Ritche, Rabbi Eliezer Yitzchak. So by mistake they included this tshuva. So the esrog has to be yellow. Shouldn't be green. If the esrog was Nishtana Marav, it changed colors, it turned black because it rotted, so then it's possible. If you have a perfectly fresh esrog and it has a little black spot, so most of the time the black spots are just dirt. If you rub your fingernail, you'll get the black spot off. And even if the black spot doesn't come off, even if that's the way it grew, many poskim hold that there's nothing wrong. Only if it turned Shinin Mara Machmas Ipush, if it's spoiled. Yeah. The esrog should have a shape of a migdal. It shouldn't be round like a ball. It should be taller and thinner. And it should be lumpy and bumpy on the outside. If it's too smooth like a lemon, so it might lead one to believe that it's really a murkav. An esrog on murkav is assumed to be pasul. And the Shulchan Aruch never says, the Magen Avraham quotes in the poskim, that an esrog on murkav is pasul. The original reason that the poskim gave why an esrog on murkav is pasul is because it's a mitzvah habor b'aveira. Because even though the non-Jews only have seven mitzvahs b'nei noach, and this offhand is not one of them, but the Gemara says, in addition to the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach, that if they violate them, they chayv misa, hazarasim zoi misasim, if the nochri steals even less than the shavuputa, he's chayv misa, or if he does, he eats eiv melachai, he's chayv misa. So in addition to the seven mitzvahs shal b'nei noach, there are a couple of additional mitzvahs that is not chayv misa. So the Rambam and the Yoredeya said, the Shach and Yoredeya has this. This is one of the additional mitzvahs that says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Harkovas Ilonis is prohibited for the goy. So to graft together, sometimes they'll graft an esrog with a lemon tree, sometimes they'll graft an esrog tree with an ilon tzrak that doesn't have any fruits at all. That's also an isa deraisa of grafting. To graft a branch from one tree onto the other tree, even if one of the trees is an ilon tzrak, it's also an isa deraisa. So the original reason that the poskim gave why an esrog on murkav is pasul is because it's mitzvah b'aveira. So that's very questionable. When you learn the Gemara's about mitzvah b'aveira, there's room to argue the case and say that this would not constitute a mitzvah b'aveira. The one who has a juicy tshuva on the topic is the Beis Ephraim. Beis Ephraim lived also, he was a contemporary of Rav Chaim Valozhiner. And the Mishkan is Yankiv, there's a correspondence between the Mishkan is Yankiv and the Beis Ephraim about Erevin. Mishkan is Yankiv lived in Lithuania and he was trying to pass all Erevin. And the Beis Ephraim lived in Galicia. Every village had an Erev, so he defends all the Erevin. So the Beis Ephraim has a very strong tshuva where he explains why he doesn't agree. It really shouldn't be a mitzvah baba there. But today, we assume that the reason why an esrog on murkav is pasul is if you are marking the esrog with a lemon or with another fruit, so then it's not 100% esrog, so it's like choser. It's a blend of an esrog with another fruit. But if you are marking it with an ilon srak, then you can't say that it's not 100% esrog. The other tree doesn't bear any fruits, so it's 100%, the fruit is 100% esrog. There's no other fruit blended in, but an avera was done. So if you hold from the reason a mitzvah baba avera, then it'll be a problem. But if you say the reason why is because it's not 100% esrog, then if it's murka with an ilan srak, then it wouldn't pose a problem.
Why wouldn't we say the tabura?
That's a complicated gemara in the middle of the Dorim. When they say bittelberg, when not, where things are growing from the ground. They say bittelberg. Yeah. It's a complicated gemara. So the esrog should be kemigdal, should be tall, instead of being short and fat, should be tall and thinner, shouldn't be so smooth on the outside, have charitz and blitin. Should be, the pasuk says, ulekachtem lachem, so ulekachtem lachem b'yom harishon, on the first day in each lachem. Minatar, the mitzvah of lulav dalaminim is only on the first day. In the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah applies all 7 days. We shake a lulav all 7 days. So after the first day, that's only midirabbanan. That's one of the nine takanas of Rabbi Yechem ben Zakkai. Dechma Zakai, the Gemara says, lived to the age of 120. So the first 40 years he worked for a living, and then he retired, and then he sat and he learned till the age of 80. Then they appointed him as the chief rabbi, the head of the Sanhedrin, at the age of 80, and he died 120. So during his tenure as the president of the Sanhedrin, Sanhedrin made 9 takonis, and the Mishnah lists them all off. So one of the 9 takonis was that we shake a lulav after the Churban Bayis Sheni. We no longer have this mitzvah lulav nito kol shiva b'migdosh and the Beis Hamigdosh. So Yechem and Zaka made a takonis, we should have a zechel migdosh, which remember that such a mitzvah exists. In the days of the Beis Hamikdash, they used to shake lulav all 7 days. So by us, we're not in the Beis Hamikdash. So lulav on the first day is the Raisa, and the remaining 6 days is Midrabon and Zechel Hamikdash. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis quotes a line from the Yerushalmi, which in the Mishnah Torah he didn't quote. In the Pirush HaMishnayis he quotes it, that when the Mishnah says lulav nito kol shiva in Migdash, lulav nito ma'migdash kol shiva, Migdash doesn't only apply in the Beis HaMigdash, in the Azorah, and in the Har Bayis, the whole Ir Atika, the whole old city, has a mitzvah min HaTorah of Netilas Lulav Kol Shiva. That's why there's a Sefer Bikuri Yankif, of Yankif Etlinger, who wrote the Orach Laner. He was the one who gave smicha to Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, and the chief rabbi of the British Commonwealth, Rabbi Nathan Adler, who was also at the same time as Rabbi Hirsch. He was a prominent rabbi in Germany. So Rabbi Yankif Etlinger, the first sefer that he wrote, he called Bikuri Yankif. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes it every page. It's on Shulchan Aruch, on Hilchas Sukkah in Dalad Minim, and the Yontav of Sukkah, in Kriyas HaTorah, Simchas Torah, has all the dinim of Sukkah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it extensively. Every other page he quotes it in Hilchas Sukkah. So he puts together 2 chumras. He says the Rambam's opinion is, in the Mishnah Torah, that the Kedushas HaMikdash was Kitcha Lasi Lovai, Machlokes HaTanaim, and a Machlokes HaMaraim, and a Machlokes HaRishayim. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchas Tisha B'Av that it's a Sveika Dedina, whether the Makam HaMikdash still retains Kedusha or not. So therefore he recommends that a Tomei shouldn't enter the Makam HaMikdash, because maybe the Din is like the Rambam, maybe it still retains Kedusha, and the Tomei is not allowed to enter. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So the Rabbi Yankif Etlinger writes in his Sefer, and the Bikur Yankif, the Rambam writes that the whole Ir Atika still retains its Kedusha today. Because the Ir Atika is a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdosh. There's the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then you have the Hechel, then you have Bein Hulav Al HaMizbeach, then you have the Azorah, then you have the Ezras Noshim, then you have the Chil, then you have the rest of the Har Habayis. So you have different levels of Kedushas HaMikdosh. So the whole Ir Atika has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdosh. So the Rambam says the Kedusha is retained even today. Kedushas HaMikdosh is still there. So if you all like that Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis, the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah didn't quote it. But in the Pirush HaMishnayis it quotes that Yerushalmi. So if you put 2 and 2 together, so the Bikur Yankis says, let's say you daven the Redi Shachris and you shuk a lulav in Tel Aviv, or in Beit Vegan, or in Me'er Shorim, Chutz L'Ir Atika. And then you go drive, or you on Chalamoid, or you walk over to the Ir Atika. So now you fulfill the mitzvah in the morning, a mitzvah the Rabbanon, of Rabbi Yechon Zakas Takonas Zeichel HaMikdosh. But now that you come to the Ir Atika, if you put together the 2 Ramams, you have to shake a little min HaTorah. So that's why when you go to the Ir Atika, so some good Samaritan will ask you on Chalamoid, you want a matana manas lahachzer. So you look at him like he's crazy. You don't need shalachem. You only need shalachem the first 2 days of Sukkot. The answer is, they all know this Bikuri Yankif. Everybody in the old city knows that according to the Bikuri Yankif, you need shalachem. Tosef Shita is that whenever lulav is the raisa, you always need shalachem. Ramban, in the beginning of Lulav HaGozel, the Ramban is a long piece in the Mohammeds, so he disagrees with Tosef. He says, even though there's a mitzvah called Shiva to shake a lulav in the Beis HaMikdash, but you don't need shalachem. But Tosef says, whenever lulav is deraisa, you need shalachem. So someone will certainly approach you, they want to shake a lulav, and then they'll give you a matan laslach, because according to the Ramban, lulav in Migdash called Shiva, need shalachem. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that the second day is a second day Sukkot, second day Yontif in America, is a Sveka Diyama of the first day, So anything that passes on the first day, you need shalachem on the second day, and you need shalem, you need chaser will be pasul. Because the pasuk says, alakachem, lachem, so the word lachem means shalachem has to belong to you. So the first 2 days you need shalachem. And the word ulakachtem, the simple meaning is, in the plural, it's a mitzvah kol echad v'yechad. You don't say the rabbi shook the lulav, the chazan shook the lulav, and everybody in shul is yotzei. Or the rabbi shook the lulav. No, each and every person has to shake the lulav. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, and the verb ulakachtem that you need lekichatama. Kichatama means two things. Number one, the dalaminim amiyak mzeh zeh. If you're missing one of the dalaminim, you don't have partial credit. There's no kima mitzvah at all. So if you say brochel b, brochel avatola. Number two, if the esrog is chaser, let's say I have an esrog the first 2 days of Sukkot, somebody took a knife and he cut out part of the esrog, a chunk of the esrog. So an esrog chaser is possible on the first 2 days. The rest of Sukkot is chaser is kosher. There is an opinion that the dalet minim are also not ma'akim zeh, and the remaining, the last days of the last 5 days of Sukkot. But we don't. That's not even mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. That's in the Kisvayara, the Rishonim that they just published 50 years ago, 70 years ago. So then you have such an opinion. But we don't pass like that. We pass on the dalet minim shabululav ma'akim zeh, even when it's only the rabbanon kol shiva the zechel amigdash. But chaser doesn't pass. So the Mishnah has, if you have an esrog with a pitim and the pitim broke off, it's possible. So then Shulchan Aruch, they quote, that's a machlek zarishanim. Why is it possible? Is it possible because it's chaser? So then it's only possible the first 2 days. And the rest of Sukkot's chaser is good. But others say, no, it's possible because of lack of hador. If the pitim, if it grew with the pitim and the pitim broke off, so it's a lack of hador. If it's a lack of hador, then we paskin that it passels, we paskin like Tosis. Not like the Rambam, that it passes all 7 days. So when you have little children, and they all want to shake the lulav, and they can't hold it well, they're going to break the pitim off. So it's recommended you should buy an esrog without a pitim. If you buy an esrog without a pitim, there's no psul. If it had a pitim and it broke off, then it's possible. If it didn't have a pitim to begin with, then it's not possible. So I still don't know. All of my babies, I had 9 babies. All the babies have their own babies now. So I still know I like to buy without a pitim. What do you need to risk if you buy with a pitim and it breaks off? Then you spend so much money for an esrog, then the whole thing becomes puzzle when the pitim breaks off. So buy without a pitim. Life is easier. Buy without a pitim. Lulav has to be, if it's yovesh, it's no good. What does it mean, yovesh? So lechatchila, the whole thing should be green from top to bottom. But Me'ikar Adin, we paskan that even if it turned white, even if it turned yellow, and it's not green at all, that's not really Yavish. Tosfos on the Daf, Tosfos on the first Mishnah, Lulav Bagosim says, we paskan based on the Mishnah in Pchoiris, it's only called Yavish if it's Nifrach B'tziporin. If it's so brittle, the Lulav is so dried out, 10 years old, that if you put your fingernail and press it on the leaves of the Lulav, they'll crack. Because you pressed your fingernail on it. So that's, we're never going to have a lulav ayavish then. But l'chatchila, you should get a lulav that's all green from top to bottom. But if it's yellow, if it's not green, it's not going to be yavish. It's very hard that it's going to be yavish. Sometimes you'll have aravis that are going to be yavish. The aravis, by the time it comes Hoshana Rabbah, the last day that you shake the lulav and the esrog, it could well be that the aravis are so brittle that if you put your nail on it, it'll be nifrach b'tziporin. So that'll be yavish taka on the aravis. How tall does the lulav have to be? So the Mishnah tells you that the hadasim and aravis have to be 3 tefachim tall, and the lulav has to be an extra tefach tall, that it should be noticeable that you're doing nanuim with it. That's why you need the extra tefach. The Gemara says the nanuim are not me'akev. The Gemara says when you pick up the lulav and the esrog, even if you didn't do any nanuim, you're yotzi anyway, when you just picked it up, nafik bay, even if you didn't do nanuim. But you see that lechatchila deraisa, that's how some achrenim say, they quote some rishonim say like that, you see that lechatchila deraisa is supposed to do nanuim. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Ran on the Rif, on Perek Lulav Agozel. What does it mean? The lulav has to be a tefach taller than the hadasim. So a lot of times you get a lulav that's short, and you get aravis that are very long. So a lot of times, if you tie the arabis and the hadassim at the bottom of the lulav, the arabis are going to be so tall, you're not going to have a tefacha of the lulav above, because the Ran explains you have to have a tefacha of the shedra of the lulav. The lulav has leaves on the right side, leaves on the left side, and then it has a backbone. And then, when you reach around 3 inches from the top, no more backbone. All the leaves are separate. You don't have all the leaves stuck together with a shedra. So the Ran explains you have to have a tefach of the shedra of the lulav protruding above the top of the hadassin and the aravis. A lot of times you don't have that. So if you have, that's one issue, that's one problem. Then there's another problem. There's a practice that Rashi had. It's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, but the latest Sfarim quoted. The Talmidim of Rashi wrote over a lot of psalkim from Rashi. He learned Gemara with Rashi, you won't know Piskei Rashi. So you have to see how the Rishonim quote. So they quote from Rashi that if you have the Aravis higher up than the Hadassim, you're not Yotze the Mitzvah. How can it be? It doesn't make any sense. Well, he made up a new din. Why is it puzzled? Nobody knows why. They're guessing. They don't know why. But whatever, that's what Rashi says. So very often, the Aravis are much taller than the Hadassim. If you're going to tie together the lulav, hadassim, and aravis standing up on the table, the aravis is going to be taller than the hadassim. So you should snip off the bottom of the aravis to make them shorter than the hadassim. Don't snip off the top of the aravis, because niktam rosho is a mishnah. Niktam rosho, if you snipped off the top of the hadassim, the top of the koneh, not the tip of the leaves, the tip of the koneh, the reed, you snipped off niktam rosho of the lulav and niktam rosho of the aravis. So there's a shaila machloikes hatanoim, rab tarfin. He backed up before his chazar, after chazar. The Mishnah quotes a machloikes whether niktam rosho is kosher or posel. So if you have aravis that are too long, they're going to be higher than the hadassim. So you should snip off the bottom. Make sure you have 3 tefachim. Usually I have way more than 3 tefachim. You don't need such long aravis. So you have to have the hadassim, should have the way to remember which is supposed to be higher than which. So they quote from Rashi that the hadassim are similar to eye shape, and the aravis are lip shape, and the eyes are above the lips. You don't have the lips above the eyes. So that's why you can't have the aravis. That's not the reason why. It's the way to remember. You can't have the lips above the eyes, so the hadassim have to be higher than the aravis. And then so the hadassim from the tip of the three hadassim, the two aravis, you should have protruding a tefach of the shedra of the lulav above that before the shedra disappears. So sometimes you'll have to make them both shorter than they are. Sometimes for both the hadassim and the aravis are too long. Make sure you get a tall lulav. Make sure you get a tall lulav so you won't have a problem.
You just slide it down or you have to cut it? Can you just slide the arrows down till they stick?
Below the
yeah,
but then if you want to, like if they hang out lower than the bottom of the lulav,
if it hangs down lower, is not a problem. But you may break them if you want to put it down somewhere. So you may break it. So you don't want to break it.
It's not about the actual size. It's just about placement of the arrows relative to the lulav.
Yeah. How do you know you need 2 aravis? Because it says arvei nachal in the plural. So you need 2 aravis. How do you know you need 3 hadassim? Machlok is in the Mishnah whether you need 3 hadassim or 1 hadas, because it says 3 words, anaf, eitz, ovis. So one tana, that's how we assume, one tana says you need 3 hadassim. The other tana says no, it's in the singular, anaf. All you need is 1 branch, you don't need 3 branches. So that's a shayla halacha l'maisa, how do we paskan? If you have only 1 hados, that's kosher, and you don't have another one, can you say a bracha? Do we really pass that it's enough with 1? Or it's a sveka d'dina? It's unclear how we pass it. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that just like there's 1 lulam and 1 esrig, so too there's 1 hados and 1 aravah. So you don't have 3 hadasim and you don't have 2 aravahs. Rabban Chumash writes on Pika Bola, and since you have 3 hadassim and 2 aravis, 3 and 2 is 5, and 1 esrig, 1 lulav is 7, so somehow this corresponds to the 7 spheres, a concept in Kabbalah. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out a little in jest, he was kidding, He said, but the Mekubalim claimed that Rabbi Akiva was the source of all the Kabbalah. So you see that Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree with the Kabbalah of Rabban. He doesn't have seven. He asked for this Kabbalah. Okay, this Kabbalah he doesn't agree. That's the common practice. You have three Hadassim, you have two Arovis, and one. The word Arve Nachal means that it grew by a river. So the Tanoim have a Bryson, Perik Lulabagozal, that even if it didn't grow by the river, it's also good. But some Rishonim hold that L'chatchile should be Mahara to get Arovis that grew by a river. Because in order to fulfill the Pshuto Shal Mikra is that the Arovis grew by a river. There's such a Rajbo and Mitzvah Chalitza in Yevamis. The Pasuk says, by Chalitza, Cholza na'aloi me'al ragloi. Na'alo means his shoe. So the Gemara says it doesn't mean that, even as long as the shoe fits, it's good. She has to take off his shoe even if it doesn't belong to him. The Bezdin always has a Chalitza shoe, because the shoes that we wear, everybody's shoes are horse leather, and the Rabbi Natam says it has to be or Behemot Torah. You can't use leather from a horse, it's a Behemot Tmeir. So the Chalitza shoe is special, and it's a big size, so it fits anybody, and they have straps to make sure it won't fall off. If a person has a tiny foot and the Chalitza shoe is going to fall off, then it's not kosher for Chalitza. So they make the Chalitza shoe in such a way that it fits everybody, and they have the straps to tie it on. So L'chatchila, the Bezdin gives it a matana to the Yavam when he does the Chalitza, that it should be his. So the Rashba writes on the Gemara Yavamis, in order to fulfill the Pshuto Shal Mikra, not Alo. So here also, some Rishonim say, L'chatchila, it's preferable to have Arabis that grew by a river. But the Gemara of the Farish, even Arvei, in the plural, means as Marbe, even if it didn't grow by a river. Even if the Arabis didn't grow by a river. But Arabis, the reed has to be red. Very often it's not red. Very often it's green, so you shouldn't take those. Then the Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't say this, but now they're Chassidish Arabis, and it's not the Sha'arovis. And the Chassidish Sha'arovis are smooth on the both sides of the leaves. And the Misnagdish Sha'arovis, the Chassidish are without Zegalach, without any, what do you call when you have a saw? What do you call the Zegalach on the saw?
Ridge.
The edge of the saw.
Serrated.
Serrating? Okay. So if it's like a saw that it sticks up like this, straight out, then the Gemara says it's puzzle. But usually when you get Arabis, not the Hasidish Arabis, they have serrating, you call it, but it's all in one direction. It's not that it's sticking out like this, it's sticking sideways, leaning sideways. If you get smooth, it's better. The Arabis have to be lip-shaped. They should be longer and thinner. They shouldn't be short and fat. Short and fat, that's Hadassim. And long and thin is Arabis. And the stem should be reddish. It should be odoim. The chatchili should grow by river. Hadassim have to be mishuloshim. So what does it mean, mishuloshim? You have to have three leaves growing on the same level. If you have more than three, 5, 10 is also good. But you have to have at least three growing together. The Ramo has a kula that many are not happy with. The Ramo says a kula, he quotes from the Trumas Hadeshen, that if you have two leaves together and the third leaf is slightly higher, that's also good, b'shas hadchak. So we should avoid that. Don't make sure you get mishaloshim. You don't need all the three l'chatchila. If you have the whole three tefach mishaloshim, that's wonderful. But it may take you 5 hours to find the mishulosh kula. So if it's ruba kakulas, ruba is mishaloshim, so then it's also acceptable. Anaf eitz ovis has the connotation, the Shari Tshuva quotes this, next to the Behetev, has the connotation that the three leaves should be hugging on the stem, on the twig of the hadas, and the tip of the three leaves should reach the bottom, the roots of the next group of three leaves. So you don't have an empty space on the branch. It should be Anaf Eitz Ovis should be covered. The whole branch of the Hadas should be covered with the leaves. Or even if the leaves are sticking out, they're not hugging the branch, but if you would fold them on the branch, the tip of the leaves, Rosh Hashem Agia L'Tzadikor Shalzeh, the tips of the bottom three leaves will reach the bottom of the next three leaves and so on, all the way to the top. So So that's what you have to look for in the hadasim and the aravos. Yeah, a lulav, if it's leaning over, hunchback is puzzle. But if it's leaning in the other direction, hunchback means you have the shedra. A person with hunchback has a spine, and the spine goes like this. So the lulav, the spine, we usually hold the lulav with the spine facing us. Based on the pasuk, v'risa sachora yafana la'iro, when Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever that means, b'mara hanavua, so he said, Moshe Rabbeinu is only going to see his back. So the lulav represents the tzaddik, tzaddik hatami yifroch. The lulav is creates, what is it, how's it called? Kapas tmar. It's a branch from a tama tree. The tzaddik hatami yifroch, the tzaddik is the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. So the minig is that you hold, it's not makir b'di'eved, but the minig is that you hold the shedra facing you based on the pasuk v'ritzas acharyai. So the pashtus is, if the shedra is leaning like this, like a person who's hunchback, that the spine is bent over, then it's possible. But if very often the lulav is bent over the other direction, that's the way the wind blows in such a way, I guess, that it causes it's hunchback in the other way. The spine is leaning out. The spine is curved. Not that the spine is curved this way, the spine is curved back. So then it's essential that it's kosher. But some Rishonim learned the Gemara just the reverse. It's not too clear in the Gemara which way is kosher, which way is posel. And it was leading significantly to the right or to the left, also posel. They'll try to get a lulav that's going to be straight, that's not going to be leaning at all. Many people want to preserve the freshness of the hadasim and the harovah, so they take a bucket of water. In the days of the Gemara, this was the practice. The Gemara, the last half in lulav agozel, has like this. That it's a mishnah, mekabel sisha miad bino miad baila. The woman takes the lulav and the hadasim and the harov is tied together from her son and from her husband, and she puts it into a machziras on the mind. They put it into a bucket of water to maintain the freshness. So this is a shaila on Friday. If you put it in the bucket of water, then you don't take it out till Sunday morning. So it was soaking in the bucket of water more than 24 hours. And usually we have a din that kovish ke mevushal. If you have an estric soaking in water for 24 hours, that's considered mevushal. Kovish ke mevushal. And if you cook the estric, it's pasul. So if the estric is kovish, it's pasul. The question is, estric is food. So there's a concept of cooking on food. What if you soak the lulav of the hadasim on the rav? It's wood. What if you soaked it in water? Is it going to say kovish ke mevushal on a piece of wood? So that's Beferish Shuvas Ramban, but it's a big argument what the girsa should be, but it's kosher apostle. What did the Ramban say? Ramban took a stand on it, but we're not sure. So there's pages and pages in the Stechemed about this whole issue. It's quoted in Yerudeya, in Hilchos Basa B'cholov. When you learn Yerudeya, so the Pischei Tshuva, about when the Shulchan Aruch talks about Kavish Kamavushal, he quotes this Shuvas Ramban, but he doesn't quote the whole literature that they had. That was a big argument in Europe in the early 1900s. What was the correct girsa supposed to be in the Tshuvas Ramban? There's one opinion, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and the Mishnah and the Lulav Tzarecheged. If you didn't tie together the Hadassim and the Arovis and the Lulav, nobody says you have to tie the Esrog also. But when you tie the Hadassim and the Arovis, is that Miakiv? So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Lulav Tzarecheged leikuva. And the Gemara says we don't pass like that, but we pass from Hatchila Lulav Tzarecheged. So the Gemara makes it clear that if the din would have been like Rabbi Yehuda, Lulav Tzarecheged, you would need an eged, a kesher al gabi kesher, kesher shal kayama, just to wrap around with a strip from the lulav and to tuck it in. That's not called an eged. You only yotze the requirement of Lulav Tzarecheged and make a kesher shal kayama. That means a kesher al gabi kesher. But we don't paskin. We pass concerning the lechatchila mishum zakele v'andeyu. It's not a mitzvah. So Rashi has a chiddush. He doesn't have a raya from the Gemara. Rashi writes on his own in Perek Lulav Agozel that just like according to Rabbi Yehuda, you require lulav tzarecheged, a kesher gabi kesher, kesher gomor. So too the Rabbanan that we say lechatchila lulav tzarecheged, it should be a kesher gabi kesher. Shouldn't just be wrap it around and tuck it in. The Maisa, we have Kesher al Gabi Kesher. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from a Sefer, Ogura Bohalecha. So tshuva is safer. Where did the Mishnah Berurah get these exotic svarim from? So he tells you where he got it from. He uses usually all the achrayim on the page. He uses the Taz and the Magen Avraham and the Prima Godim and the Chemed Moshe. Chemed Moshe is a sefer that was printed in the middle 1800s, and the Maimon Mordechai was printed in France by Sfaradische Gadol in the 1800s. How did the Mishnah Berurah get it? How did he know that it existed? I don't know. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes all these svarim. But then, whatever's on the daf in the Shulchan Aruch, he'll quote. The Tshuvas Rabbi Kivega is a Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, a Tshuvas Ksav Sofer, a Tshuva Ba'alecha, a Gur Ba'alecha, I don't know who it is, but he quotes it here. He didn't know the Isfarm. So there's a little Sefer that's called Pischei Tshuva on Aruch Haim. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Hagdama, he's using the Pischei Tshuva. Once in a while, let's say, I am Pischei Tshuva. Pischei Tshuva is not printed on the page in Aruch Haim. It's the Shari Tshuva. Pischei Tshuva is a separate sefer, a collection of a few achrayim. So he quotes this from the Pischei Tshuva, who quotes this Agur Ba'alecha, that what they sell, the keshikol, that's made up of woven strips of the lulav, it's woven in such a way that it's full or not. So that's considered like a kesha agabi kesha. But if the din would have been like Reb Yudah, that lulav tzarech eged, so the Gemara says that's questionable whether that would be satisfactory, because just like there's a din of Tasav Laman Asa and Nischach, so to the Gemara Daf Yud Aleph says it could be according to Reb Yudah, that there's a din of Tasav Laman Asa and the Eged. So here the knots are all made already. And then you take the lulav and you slip it in, then you put the hadasim over there, the arovis over there. So the knot was made before you had the minim here, way before. So the Gemara has two opinions according to Reb Yudah if there's Tasav Laman Asa. The question is, but we don't pass on like Reb Yudah. We pass on like the Rabbanan. The lulav tzarech eged is only lechatchila. The Rashi said, but every Reb Yudah requires leikuve, like a kesher al gabi kesher, so we require lechatchila. So would Rashi say the same by Tasav Laman Asa? That if we take this keshikol, we take this ready-made bunch of knots, we take the thing full of knots, and we slip in the lulav in the middle, hadasim over there, and the arovis over there. So since the knot preceded the slipping in of the minim, so it's tasav laman oasei, so you're not yotze lechatchila. So the achrayim assume not so. The achrayim say the Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph only raises the issue of tasav laman oasei by the eged. If you hold like Reb Yudah, hold like the Rabbanan, they never raise the issue. Rav Soloveitchik thought lahachmir. He thought that you can't use a keshikol because it's tasav laman oasei. So he used to always, he wouldn't use one of those containers, and he would tie it up with a knot, with a double knot to hold together. Most people do not follow Rabbi Soloveitchik's chumer. Most assume that there's no issue of tasav laman oasei by the eged. Lechatchila lulav tzarech eged. There's a Rabbi Natam in the Gittin Daf Memhei Amadeus. Rabbi Natam says that a woman is not chayiv in lulav if she makes the kesher, so it's puzzle. Why? Because a woman, whoever's Zayin B'Torahs, can create the Shema. So it's a chiddush over here. All right, that part is not that earth-shattering. Whoever's not mechayiv in the mitzvah can't create the Shema. But then he assumes also that the tying the eged needs the Shema. Who said that? If you're like Reb Yudah, that lulav tzarech eged, so there's room to begin to say like that, that the eged has to be made lishma. You need asir lishma. But we don't really pass on like Reb Yudah. We pass lulav tzarech eged is only l'tcheilim mishum zakelim and veil. So also it has to be lishma. Where does it come from? I mean, Rashi. Again, the Rashi. Whatever Reb Yudah holds likuve, so the Rabbanah hold l'chatchila. So if a woman is going to tie it, it's no good. So that Rabbi Natam is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch, but the Magen Avraham quotes it. Aaron quotes it Ledina, that a woman shouldn't tie the lulav. For many years, the Bnei Akiva used to have a single girl who lived in the neighborhood. That was her job, to tie up after you bought the lulav hadas and aravis from the boys. Then this girl used to tie it up. Then she got married, she moved away from the neighborhood, so she's not here anymore. But for many years, she was tying up everybody's lulav. Okay, so you gotta have an esrog that shouldn't be a murkov, and the esrog should be tall and thin, and it should have charitz nablitin, and if the pitten broke off, it's possible on the first 2 days. Hashalim may even be possible the rest of sukkahs, It's a machlekes harishayne whether nitla pit masai is psul because of hadar, in which case it passes all the 7 days, or it's psul because of chaser, so it only passes on the first 2 days. And you only need shalachem on the first 2 days. The first day you need shalachem deraisa, second day you need shalachem derabbanon. And aravas lechatchila should grow by a river, and you need two aravas, should be long and thin. Hadasim shouldn't be too big. Sometimes you sell hadasim, the leaves are very big. So the Achrenim quote, there's a Bal Halochas Gedoilois, even when he says things that are a little strange, Tosis often disagrees with the Halochas Gedoilois, but Tosis says, Kol Dvar Dibre Kabbalah, he lived in the days of the Gaonim, and he may have had traditions in the days of the Amoraim. They were in the same cities, Surim Pompadisa, I think, where the Amoraim lived. So the Halochas Gedoilois writes in Hilchas Treifus, when you get to a different din, that Tarfa the Oso, the leaf of the hadasim, should not be bigger than a thumbnail. Sometimes they have hadasim that are gigantic, so you should avoid that. It's supposed to be smaller than the size of a thumbnail. And the arabis, the reed of the arabis should be reddish, and you should see to it that shedra of the lul protrudes a tefach above the hadas, and the hadas should be slightly higher than the arabis, because they quote from Rashi that if the Rav is higher than the Hodo, so you're not Yotze the Mitzvah. Very peladic. We pass in the Shulchan Aruch, the Rabbein Tam's opinion is, in Menachos, in Perakat Cheles, that if you pick up the... we pass in Lulav, and it's Archeged, the Rabbein Tam says you have to pick up all four minimum of Asachas. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote the Rabbein Tam, they quote the Rambam, that if you picked up Bezeh Hazeh, it's also good. So someone just asked... a week ago, someone asked Lashal, a man just had a stroke, and he's paralyzed on the left side of his body. He has no use of his left hand at all. And he can't hold the lulav and the esrog in the right hand alone. There is an opinion that's quoted in Beis Yosef, quoted in the Magen Avraham, that if you hold the lulav and the esrog in the same hand, you're not yotze. You have to hold them in two different hands. If the Gemara says you're supposed to hold the lulav in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand, because the lulav has three quarters of the mitzvah. Lulav Hadasim and Arav, his esrog only has one quarter. If a person is a lefty, there's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. So most of the poskim hold the lulav in the left hand and the esrog in the right hand. But because there's an opinion that it's there's a Rabbeinu Hananel's opinion that it's ma'akeh b'dieved. If you're a righty and you hold the esrog in the right hand, the lulav in the left hand, Rabbeinu Hananel says on the Gemara Sukkah that you're not yotze b'dieved. That's very surprising, but there's also Rabbeinu Hananel is from the early Rishonim, soon after the Gaonim. So we're concerned about him. So if a person is a lefty, they recommend in Shulchan Aruch, when he says the bracha, he should hold the lulav in the left hand, the esrog in the right hand, but then he should switch hands and shake a second time, because according to some, even he who is a lefty is supposed to hold the lulav in the right hand, and the esrog in the left hand, and the kohen kabbein hanav. If you hold in the wrong hand, you're not yotze. And then there's an opinion in the Rishonim that if you hold the lulav and the esrog in one hand, so you're not yotze. So that's a shalom when you go hoishayne. So usually, you hold the lulav and the esrog in one hand, and the siddur in the other hand. So you're holding the lulav and the esrog in one hand. So it's like not holding at all. You're not yotze anything. So that's why you got to figure out. So in Europe, they told us in Brisk, there were two lulavim and esrog, one for the rabbi and one for the kehillah. So the chazan had a lulav and an esrog. So Rav Velvel Soloveitchik had someone walk backwards in front of the chazan with a machzer, and the chazan would hold the lulav in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand. He wouldn't hold both in the same hand. But you have to have a third hand to hold the machzer, so you had someone else hold the machzer. Yeah, and today almost everybody has the whole lulav and esrog, so you have to try to figure out, are you going to hold the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand, and the siddur in the third hand? On the one hand, on the other hand, on the other hand. You got to have, got to figure out some nates, how to hold the siddur. Okay, so this paralyzed person, had a shayla, what's he going to do? So he's going to have to pick up the zeh hazeh. I have to hold first the lulav, and then hold the esrog later. The Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam. If you pick up the zeh hazeh, you're yotze. You should all have a wonderful Yom Tov. Make sure your sukkah is kosher. Make sure your dalminim are kosher. Ready.
Nitziv Yisrael, that was the guy who took me down the first.
Whenever you have a Hechshe Nitzvah, Kasa Batur, that's a shearing off the wool from the sheep, doesn't say in the Chumash. It's self-understood to make tzitzis from wool. You don't shear off the wool, so you won't have any wool to make springs.
Right.
Making the springs also doesn't say. So
the argument was
we wouldn't say mitzvah bo yosef and mishluchai to shear off the wool. We wouldn't say mitzvah bo yosef and mishluchai to take the wool and convert it into strings. But once you have strings and you have a beged, so it's preferable the osalahem tzitzis. You should tie the tzitzis yourself rather than have the guy in the store tie it for you if you have time and you know how to do it. You don't have to do it, so you don't do it. But if you know how to do it, or it's preferable you should write your own mezuzah. It says Uchsavtam Amazuzas Besecha. Doesn't say Kvaitam Amazuzas. It says Uchsavtam. So the Ksiba is the Hechsha Mitzvah because of our Torah. So the Asiyas Hasuke is also because the Torah Shabbat Peh gave this additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk. Chagazub Estas Elocha goes on Asiyas Hasuke. On Hanochen Saskha. So that's a Hechsha Mitzvah because of our Torah. So he has this Rashi in Makkah. So it seems to say Mitzvah Bo Yosef B'Shlucha applies to the Asiyas HaSukkah.
It only means because the drasha was saying a second Shem Pasuk, Mashiach, yeah. The normal drasha would not be the same.
If you learn Adinim, you have to make the sukkah. If you don't make it, so it's going to be possible.
I'm saying if you just, because it's also Mashiach, you need to make a sukkah to have a sukkah, so.
Okay, Pasuk. Since it's a din of Pasuk,
that's
why
I need the whole Pshetel about
the additional level of interpretation could teach all the different dinim.
No, I'm saying Tassav
Lamarasin and Huktzim Mitzvasa, Hukish Lachai.
I mean, the thing that Sivzi Sod, though, he would say that in theory, if you just had the mashmas from the Pasuk, it would be enough to require you to consider the Hechsher Mitzvah.
Yeah. Right. Hechsher Mitzvah.
It happens to be in this case that it was also a second layer of Pshat.
No, because it's a second layer of Pshat, so therefore it's a Hechsher Mitzvah, Kasa B'Torah. Otherwise it's not Kasa B'Torah. Otherwise self-understood. Somebody has to make the sukkah, it's not going to happen by itself.
The person wants to be matching for the Rav and actually ties a Kesher or Bela Kesher. Let's say it's on Yom Tov. I mean, tied it before Yom Tov. But can he, if he slips it off to undo the four minim, let's say, you know, to put them away, and then tomorrow he puts them back together and slips the ring back on, is that considered shalom?
I think that's Tassel Lamanase, so you won't gain it.
So you'd have to, though, if you want to be back with that, you'd have to keep it.
In a bucket of water. Yeah.
Can you ever put the, I'm a lefty, so what was the suggestion?
You're a lefty.
Yeah.
So most of the Paschim hold the lefty should hold the lulav in the left hand. When you say Kiddush, you hold the cup on your left hand. So when you hold, since a righty is supposed to hold the lulav in the right hand, because three quarters of the mitzvah is more important than one quarter, the lefty, who is a lefty, should hold the lulav in the left hand and hold the esrog in the right hand. But because there's a minority opinion that is preferable the other way, and there's Rabbi Hanano holds, and if you hold in the wrong hand, you're not yosef. And that's why they say they're all the lefties. When you say the wrong hand, you shake the lulav, they should hold the lulav in the left hand, as in the right hand. That's according to most of the poskim. And then to satisfy the miut poskim, hold that you weren't yosef yet, which is which hand?
Shake again.
Okay.
Rebbe thinks that all black dots.
Even my children are lefties.
Rebbe thinks that all black dots are not a problem unless it's like clearly like rotted. Like rotted, all small black dots.
That's what it says in the Chaim Aruch and the Mishmar Shalom. Years ago, when people learned Yeridaya, so they used to learn the Prima Godim. So the Prima Godim is not so easy to understand. So the Chaim Aruch, the Mishmar Shalom, is a commentary on the Prima Godim. Now nobody looks in the Prima Godim, so they're not going to look in the Mishmar Shalom. But he wrote two Masvarim that are both called Chaim Aruch and the Mishmar Shalom. So one is Hilchas Avelis, alphabetically arranged. It's fantastic. The other one is Hilchas Dalad Minim, alphabetically arranged. There's everything there. There's everything there. Now we have more Rishonim. But everything that he lived the same, he quotes Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he quotes the Or Sameach, he quotes the Marsham. He lived in the early 1900s.
Actually, a black spot is I mean, according to the Shulchan Aruch, a black spot is a posel color, isn't it?
So the Chaim Aruch and Mishmar Shalom assumes, based on his poskim, that it's only if it happened Machmas Sipush. If it rotted, and because of the rot, that's why it changed colors and it's not the nice yellow color. But if that's the way it grew and it looks beautiful, it looks fresh, then he holds that there's no din of shinamar. Shinamar means if the mar was nishtana because it rotted.
Would it be obvious to notice if it's because of rotting or if it's just a...
Yeah. The fresh esregen. They have black spots. It's not because of rotting. All esregen is fresh.
At what level of green is a concern? After you mentioned that just
like green like grass. Right. It's light green.
How much of this?
Light green is half yellow, so the stomach that's already kosher. But green, dark green, like grass. Yorik karsi, that's what's possible.
What is karsi? It's a type of vegetable, right?
I don't know, it's saying something like grass.
Oh, it's grass. Oh.
I think it's some kind of a grass.
Once it says yorik karsi, then it says yorik asim asoda.
Like a leek or something?
Uh-huh, okay.
So, which is it?
I don't know. I thought it was also grass.
Uh-huh.
Does everyone write on?
Europe. No, thank you. I have to stop off. I have to pick up something from my wife's car.
Is there one right there?
Yeah, it's not worth it. Okay, if you don't mind. Okay.
I thought in oil in the
number. Under the communists, it was very hard to get. Remember when I was at the school, it's called Moshe Feinstein. Had an esrig, he was lucky he had an esrig, and he preserved it from year to year by putting it in honey. He had it covered with honey all over.
Kavish?
And it was, kavish is only if it's very liquidy, but the honey is very thick, so it's not kavish in the Russian. He preserved the esrig.
Wow. He's
money
next to it, right?
He's going to stop having the